Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it. Coaches, we are all searching for ways to better evaluate players in order to give meaningful feedback. Over 15 years ago, I put together a test called the Jamoti Skill Rating. The JSR takes players through a series of tests involving basketball skill or athleticism, giving them one rating at the end. Their JSR rating will give you clarity on what needs to be discussed with players and parents on areas they need to focus on improving. I test our players at least four times each year. They're able to compete against each other, past players' scores, and most importantly, their past performances. If you'd like to start testing your athletes, email me at jamotipodcast@gmail.com for more information.
So well articulated, and
I don't think it was, but thanks.
Oh, it was, man. And let me even clarify, because I'm glad you made that point about get playing time. That's how I would frame the strength as well. The better you do this, the more playing time you get. The worse you do this, the less you get. And that's where it's honestly the main reason why I'm doing club teams here is one, to have an impact, and my daughters are into basketball.
Nice.
But two, it's just a laboratory. Like, I can actually say, like, I coach this team and I have tried this, you know, as opposed to being like, here's a theory, try it out.
No doubt. And well done with that too, because I don't know if we're going to have enough time to get to it, because I actually do have a class to go to at 11:55. But I did, because you told me years ago that you're a horrible coach and that the first thing you do is fire yourself. Well, have you fired yourself yet? But obviously not. But what have you learned from the stuff that you've been teaching? Because not that coaches wouldn't have believed you before, but I could see maybe there could be doubt in them saying like, yeah, great idea, guy who doesn't actually have parents talking, you know, all this stuff. But now that you have, I'm sure it's validated a ton of things that you do teach. But what have you learned from being on that side of it?
I have learned that I am not yet simple enough. Yeah, not yet simple enough. I mean, I have learned that if players can't do it autonomously in a game, then I haven't taught it well enough yet. And there's no reason to move on to anything else. You know, like we frustrated teams so much with lock left and generated so many turnovers, right? And we still like can't get past layer three, right? In a whole,
like, do you feel like they need to get past layer three?
I think so. The number one program in the state of Arizona, we have lost to in the championship of these tournaments consistently all season long. So I would say like our team's probably like number two in the state of Arizona club teams. And in order to beat that team, we got to get past layer three.
Yep.
You know, so that's where we're at. And so, you know, and so now we got to, you know, be more dedicated to showing up to practice and having consistency. It's club, it's AAU basketball, right? You know, and so 1 to 2 practices a week with maybe your whole team.
Have you found that challenging to really be able to get deep enough with these concepts? The fact that in select ball, you practice less, you play more, and typically you it's hard to get everybody there because life has challenges. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I think it's made me a better coach.
No doubt.
It's made me a better coach because you have more constraint. Just like constraint makes players better, constraint makes coaches better. And like another great tool for coaches that want to identify blind spots is constrain yourself, put some arbitrary constraint on yourself as a coach, and then see how you react. Like, what would be an arbitrary constraint? Okay, I'll give it to you. This is another clear thing you could do for your assistant coaches and yourself. All coaching falls into, in my opinion, all coaching in practice should fall into three categories 7-11-21 casino numbers. Okay. 7-11-21. All right. Seven second sound bites that are one on one outside of the flow of a drill or game. So as a player rotates off, rotates out of the drill, is a sub on the sideline, it's a one on one 7 second conversation where it's a piece of encouragement or a teaching focus reminder. And the reason it's 7 seconds or less is because it causes you to think before you speak. Right. You don't just start. You don't process verbally to the player. You think, process.
How dangerous to do that.
Yeah. Right. 7 seconds. Right. And so I would, with my assistant coaches, every assistant coach, when they first get involved, I say, you're on a 7 second restriction. The only thing you're doing this entire practice is giving 7 second sound bites outside of the flow. That's it. Mm-hmm. Nothing else until I can overhear and listen and be like, okay, I believe, I trust, good. Then you've graduated to 11 seconds, okay? Now, 11 seconds are group-wide reminders. That's the main difference. It's not necessarily the time, but it's like 7 seconds is one-on-one, 11 is when you would address a group or a team. And the other restriction for 11 second is no new teaching. You can only remind and refocus the group to something that we've already established and taught as a principle that the head coach has already taught, or that has been established previously. That's it. And it should be no longer than 11 seconds, you know, not approximate, right? So that's an 11. So I might say, assistant coach has been with me for 5 years that I really trust. You can go sevens and 11s, right? Brand new, young assistant that I get, you're on 7 second restriction. That's your job. 21s. 21s are longer than 21 seconds, and it's a new concept. And 21s, usually are reserved only for the head coach, right? This is where I'm going to bring you in and we're going to talk about this new action or this new, you know, way that we're going to run the floor or, you know, how we're going to defend inbounds or this. That's a 21, right? And then I would have a head coach tally mark either on their own little phone or notebook or have an assistant or an injured player do how many sevens, 11s, and 21s they use in a given practice. And so like if you were to, you know, try to evaluate your teaching by those three categories, what would you say you do the most if it was by tally mark? You do the most 7 seconds, 11 seconds, or 21s?
Second period, because yeah. It's very much like a PGC session of teach, go, mm-hmm. and getting individual touches. Mm-hmm. I would say mostly sevens.
Yeah.
Some, I definitely hit 111 today with a player. And then 221s because there were two expansions on some of the things we've already done. Well, mm-hmm. Brunson being a new concept that we put in today, that right. was definitely a 21 in front of everybody. But I don't know. I think mostly sevens.
Yeah. And that's one thing I love about you as a coach, because, you know, I tell coaches that you actually want it to look like this. And that might be showing up backwards for you on your screen.
No, that's good.
Okay, cool. Sevens, 11s, 21s. The majority should be sevens. Yes. And most coaches.
Yeah.
Like that, right.
Yeah.
And that would be, I think another way to lead your assistants and a way to expose your own blind spots. Hmm. You're like, oh my gosh, if you are spending most of your time doing 21 second new teachings, you're teaching way too much. Hmm. Teaching way too much. And that's another way to kind of like just put in some guardrails to help simplify your message as a coach.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.